A small percentage of the Israeli population, several thousand strong, they are united by religious zealotry and ultranationalism. They oppose Israeli democracy and any peaceful dealings with the Palestinians.
If we want to understand Rabbi Kahana, his message was that we need to go to war because, in fact, what will bring our redemption is not prayer. What will bring redemption is war. But today we're going in exactly the opposite direction. Instead of war, there's peace now. There's an attempt to prevent war at all costs. And if we can force the army to go back to being offensive, an army of revenge, an army which cares about Jews more than anybody else, then we'll be able to bring the final redemption in the only way possible, through war. War now.
They were a warlike tribe that lived deep in the heart of Asia. And they were so warlike that even the Asiatics drove them out of Asia into Eastern Europe. And to reduce this, so you don't get too confused about the history of Eastern Europe, they set up this big Khazar kingdom, 800,000 square miles, only. There was no Russia, there were no other countries, and the Khazar kingdom was the biggest country in all Europe. So big and so powerful that when the other monarchs wanted to go to war, the Khazars would loan them 40,000 soldiers. That's how big and powerful they were. Now, they were phallic worshippers. This is filthy, I don't want to go into the details of that now. It was their religion. The way it was the religion of many other pagans or barbarians elsewhere in the world. Now the king became so disgusted with the degeneracy of his kingdom that he decided to adopt a so-called monotheistic faith, either Christianity, Islam, Muslim faith, or what is known today as Judaism, really Talmudism. So, like spinning a top, he said, eeny, meeny, miny, moe, and he picked out so-called Judaism. And that became the state religion, and he sent down to the Talmudic schools of Tel Aviv and Sura, and brought up thousands of these rabbis with their teachings, and he opened up synagogues and schools in his kingdom of 800,000 people, 800,000 square miles, and maybe 10 to 20 million people, and they became what we call Jews. There wasn't one of them that ever had an ancestor that ever put a toe in the Holy Land, not alone in Old Testament history, but back to time, the beginning of time.
And the blessing of Abraham come on every office, through every person that enters into that place. And that the blessing flow beyond any manifestation that any of these people have ever seen. And suddenly they will say, we can no longer turn our backs on the nation of Israel, and we will stand, and we will be firm, and we will win and not lose.
We kill Jesus, we're proud of
it. This is my land.
This is not your land, it belongs to these families.
Yeah. God gave it to me. Fuck you.
When the Zionism was, the whole movement of Zionism was created, the concept, the ideology of transforming Judaism from spirituality, a religion, into a materialism, a nationalistic goal to have a piece of land, all the rabbinical authorities said this is antithetical with what Judaism is all about, expressly forbidden in the Torah, because we are in exile by God.
Millions of Christians are holding up the weary arms of Israel's soldiers and giving hope to the tired souls of besieged Israelis. And it wasn't only that Pastor Hagee led them into this camp, but for so many of them, it was Pastor Hagee who taught them that their Bible demands they stand with Israel, and that their theology requires that they act on this theological belief.
Like brothers. The idea of Zion take away the land from the Palestinians, from the Arabs, starting the whole fighting. Not Arabs the problem, not Jews the problem, not Judaism, not Muslim, only Zionism.
You implied that Israel has the right to exist because of what happened to the Jews during World War II. Why in Palestine? Don't the Palestinians too have the right to a secure homeland? Why do they have to suffer and make way for the Jews?
Look, we can go back and we can argue over the birth of Israel, the justice of the birth of Israel. We can argue over whether or not there should be an Israel. There is an Israel today. There's a strong Israel today, a vibrant Israel that is not going to disappear. Palestinians have missed opportunities. There is an opportunity today. I don't see any useful purpose in arguing over what justifications Israel has to exist. Israel has all of the justifications in the world to exist. And I don't even think it's appropriate to question the reason why Israel exists. Thank God that there is at least one Israel, an Israel where Jews can live if they want to. They don't have to live there. But if they need refuge, if they want to live in a country that is a Jewish homeland, that's fine. And I think, as I said before, all of us should be delighted that we happen to be around at a time in this world when there is this Israel. To deny Zionism, to reject Zionism, is about as racist an element as you can get. Why should all of these people, Palestinians and others, deserve a homeland if the Jews can't have a homeland? Have not the Jews suffered enough all of these?
I suppose then it wasn't missed on anyone, the audience, that Mr. Glitzer was deploying that same familiar lawyer's tactic. The question that was put to him was, if we accept the legitimacy of the state of Israel, why don't we also accept the legitimacy of a Palestinian state? And then Mr. Glitzer went on to tell us all the good reasons why we should accept the legitimacy of the state of Israel, something which, by the way, I concur with. But that still doesn't answer the question. If one does accept the legitimacy of the state of Israel, why doesn't one also accord the same rights to self-determination and statehood to the Palestinians? That was the question, as I understand it, that was put to him.
Often when there is dissent expressed in the United States against policies of the Israeli government. People here are called anti-Semitic. What is your response to that as an Israeli Jew?
Well, it's a trick. We always use it. When from Europe somebody is criticizing Israel, then we bring up the Holocaust.
There are certain conditions, according to Jewish law, under which non-Jews may live here. This doesn't apply to the Arabs. They don't fit the category. They have to get the hell out. Whoever leaves under his own steam will save his own life. Whoever doesn't will have to pay the price. This is the land of Israel.
There are 54 million Chinese Muslims. 54 million. And Muhammad only died in 620 A.D., so in that time, 54 million Chinese have accepted Islam as their religious belief. Now imagine in China, 2,000 miles away from Arabia, where the city of Mecca is located, where Muhammad was born. Imagine if the 54 million Chinese called themselves Arabs. Imagine! Why, you'd say they're lunatics.
But I live in enmity with their Palestinian neighbors who don't dare come near. While other settlements are fenced in, the people here prefer a different approach. Deterrence.
The Arab knows that when a Jew fences himself in, the rest of the land is his. We want to prevent that. He puts his plow next to the Jew's fence and starts plowing all the way to his village. And that's unacceptable. If I don't have a fence, it confuses him. Our fence, in fact, goes as far as an M16 can reach. The range of an M16 bullet is our fence. Revenge is an important value. The Talmud says that it is one of the greatest things. Revenge is great.
Almost every one of the Psalms mentions revenge in one way or another. Usually people recite Psalms for the sick. In all of the Psalms there are maybe two verses about the sick. About revenge there are hundreds of verses.
And it is Pastor John Hagee who created the vehicle through which all Christians in America can act on their love for the State of Israel. Christians United for Israel, which, as you can see by looking around this room tonight, is rapidly becoming the most powerful Christian movement in the United States of America.
About 740 AD, the King of the Khazars converted to Judaism and made it the state religion. Incredibly, within a few centuries, the people of Khazaria convinced themselves that they were not Gentiles after all. Today, the Ashkenazim, or Khazars, are the vast majority, about 80% of those who call themselves Jew.
The Lord God has His hand on Israel, and God sends help for Israel when it is needed. Foreign policy establishment in this country and in Europe looks at the dangerous situation and tells us the following. There are simply too many Muslims living on too much land, sitting on top of too much oil for us to risk alienating them.
According to author Simon Schama, the Rothschilds own 80% of the land of Israel. Even the flag of Israel flies the hexagram symbol from the Rothschild family's red shield. The hexagram has 6 points, 6 triangles, and 6 sides on the central hexagram. The numbers 666 are associated with the biblical prophecies.
Israel today faces greater threats to her existence than at any time in her existence since 1948.
Okay. So what do you call yourself? Huh? Como se llama?
The thing that we say to anybody is, let's cooperate and get this thing over with, and then we'll settle the differences once the crisis is over.
Such clergy response teams would walk a tightrope between the needs of the government versus the wishes of the public.
Because the government is established by the Lord, you know, and that's what we believe in the Christian faith. That's what's stated in the scripture.
Regnum meum non est de hoc mundo. Si eset, putas ministri mei.
In the 1930s, scientists wondered how Hitler could rule Germany and Stalin could rule Russia. These were vast territories. He could rule them with practically no army. And the answer was, they had discovered during the 1920s that adding sodium fluoride to the drinking water made the people very passive. Stalin found out that in his concentration camps, where you have to have guards, I mean nobody's there because they want to be, by adding sodium fluoride to the drinking water to camps, or the gulags, he could reduce his guards by an average of 4. You only need 1 in 4, 25% instead of 100%, which comes to quite a bit of money. Sodium fluoride is a byproduct of the manufacture of aluminum, which is a very complicated, well, you have it in Florida. It's a very complicated manufacturing process. And a byproduct of the manufacture of aluminum is sodium fluoride, which is a very dangerous chemical and very expensive to dispose of. So somebody came up with the imaginative premise that maybe sodium fluoride could be used to add to water and maybe it would help to, prevent cavities in children in their teeth. But there was never any study conducted on this and no proof whatsoever that this was true, but Congress, with the judicious application of bribes, passed a bill enacting sodium fluoride in addition to water supplies all the United States. And we haven't had a revolution since. And we had one party government ever since.
My friends, you are free. You are free to respect and appreciate the authority of the government that God gives to you. Honor the king.
To order a video or audio copy of today's message, I'm free to submit to authority. Visit our website or call 1-800-661.
You are the seat. Hear me. You are the focus, the seat of the adversarial antichrist. You are the chosen nation of God. Why are we here? Because this is now the focus of the battle. This is what you're calling the congressmen now who vote for Israel first and America second. Because they say, I'm first a Jew. Oh, try me again? Mm-hmm. Is that a religion? Is that a race, a creed, a color? What are you talking about? If you dare say it's a color or a creed, you're anti-Semitic. Down with you, off with your head. The ADL will get you, you sucker, you anti-Semite. And not a single one of them come from the Semites. None of them. How can you be Israel first if you are a citizen of another country? So, again, look at the protocols. You don't even know where you are and who you are. I like to go right back to the term Khazar because that's what they were. And isn't it funny? Once we came forth and we started hitting this, how many history books there actually are, and they are Jewish. The Jewish Encyclopedia, etc. Who has tried to hide this Khazarian history, just like they have voted in the Holocaust. Of course there was death. But the whole of Germany, for goodness sakes, was filled with Khazarians. And you had the same element putting the bill for the Bolshevik revolution while you had all this upheaval going on in Europe. To the point that that just about got lost in the shuffle. The same people funding both. Setting up both. And then the Jewish Encyclopedia gives the number of people of Jewish origin that they could call Jews. Long about that period of time as 6 million something. How could you kill 6,500,000 of them, which year before last they wanted to upgrade the number by 500,000? Well, they're still referring to 6 million, but very frequently you're going to see it written over 6.5 million. There were not 6.5 million of them. It isn't a matter of whether or not there was a thing. Mathematically, it does not add up. It could not have happened that way.
Why is it that those who ask questions are persecuted? Why is such sensitivity or such prohibition on further studies on the subject?
So now you have the attack of the Anti-Defamation League. The Anti-Defamation League, my children, comes right out of British intelligence. With orders from the Committee of 300. The ADL B'nai B'rith is the Jewish thrust which is most prevalent in the United States of America.
They are the ones, on the other hand, that are now so active in Australia and Japan. So it's hard to say the Crown of England is doing that. Yep. And it's being enforced by an international police organization of the United Nations. ATF, BATF, Mossad, taken from Moses, KGB, and whatever they're calling the new one, the new lie in Russia, and CIA. So they shift more KGB agents into the CIA than you have Americans. And they're all trained by the highly qualified Mossad. The Jews, the Khazarian Zionists, have been the terrorists since creation began. Why did you have the symbol of a serpent in the Garden of Eden? The Khazarians came along, took up the Judean religion because they didn't want Mohammedan. They didn't want Christianity. They were of those tribes. They were Russian, Mongol, and Nordic. Heavy, heavy Turkish accent tangled in there. The Khazarian Empire lasted over 300 years, and they infiltrated every nation on the globe. And they called themselves Jews. When they took up the Judean religion, quote, because they had the answer to everybody. They were warmongers. Everywhere they went, they were at war. They were the commercially controlling entity. They were the bankers. They were the commerce controllers. They would gain control and power everywhere they were. And just as they have handled the Holocaust by voting it in that you may not disagree, it becomes law. It got to the point that if you spoke of the things that I speak of today, you would be killed. And therefore, except in the books that were never intended to be brought public, ever, those secret religious books, Khazarianism was banished. Just like someday communism will be illegal to speak the term. Does that mean the systems changed? No. After the Bolshevik Revolution, there were something like 22 million Christians killed in Russia. I don't hear anybody bitching about that Holocaust. Oh, well, but the communists took over. Who were the communists? Every member of the communist government was Jewish. Hear me, including Lenin. I cannot speak of the past of your historical lineage without telling you these things. And yes, people get killed for it. They don't want it out there because it's the truth. Why didn't you know about it? We had someone here who has been a teacher all her life. What do you know about the Khazars? Not one thing. And then finally, in reaching way back and then looking, checking, one small paragraph about Khazarians and a little bit about where they were in ancient times.
Those who threaten Israel threaten us. Israel has always faced these threats on the front lines, and I will bring to the White House an unshakable commitment to Israel's security. That starts with ensuring Israel's qualitative military advantage.
And word late tonight that two suspects are in FBI custody after a truckload of explosives was discovered around the George Washington Bridge.
We will stand with Israel. We want them around not just for 60 years, but for 600 years. And when I'm president of the United States, they will have an unwavering ally in me.
I'm aware that there's still some who would question or even justify the offense of 9/11. But let us be clear. Al-Qaeda killed nearly 3,000 people on that day. Even now states their determination to kill on a massive scale. They have affiliates in many countries and are trying to expand their reach. These are not opinions to be debated. These are facts to be dealt with.
All of a sudden, down there, I see this van park, and I see three guys on top of the van, and I could see that they were like happy. You know, they didn't look shocked to me. You know, they didn't look shocked.
And at that point, we were taken for another round of questioning, this time related to our allegedly being members of Mossad. The fact of the matter is, we are coming from a country that experiences terror daily. Our purpose was to document the event. Our purpose was to document the event.
Before I was rescued and my mind and my memory restored, I was totally robotic. I had no ability to think for myself. I had no ability to question or to reason. I could only do exactly what I was told to do. One thing that I was told to do was to attend a White House cocktail party. This was during the Reagan-Bush administration while Ronald Reagan was president. It was on one occasion in particular that I heard Ronald Reagan talking with then Prime Minister of Canada, Brian Mulroney, who was also involved in this New World Order effort. And he said at that time that he believed the only way to world peace is through mind control of the masses. This is terrifying in proportion. especially when having experienced mind control, I know that there is no peace of mind under mind control. Without free thought, there's no free will. Without God-given free will, there's no spiritual expression. And I wonder, what kind of a so-called world peace can we have where people have no peace of mind, where they have no spiritual expression, when they have no, when they're not even in touch with their own identity? Or it's very frightening in proportion when we consider the ramifications of what all mind control entails.
President Clinton was campaigning for his wife in Corpus Christi, Texas yesterday when an idiot started waving a sign that claimed 9/11 was an inside job.
That's not good screaming.
As Clinton was working the crowd after the
speech, what's Rosie O'Donnell doing in Corpus Christi?
The man got close to the former president and started yelling at him. You don't do that, you see, because that's when the Secret Service steps in.
The man led away in handcuffs, bro.
And hopefully taken one of those secret prisons in Eastern Europe, never to be heard from.
Oh, I hope that happens.
Okay. We can only hope.
If this were a dictatorship, it'd be a heck of a lot easier.
The family members at the 9/11 Commission asked hundreds of questions of the 9/11 Commission, questions that I wanted also.
I familiari delle vittime morte nell'attentato, negli attentati dell'11 settembre, hanno posto centinaia e centinaia di domande alla Commissione, tra cui tante domande che mi sono posto anch'io.
The Commission refused to answer them. Think of your son or daughter being murdered. Everyone think of.
Voglio chiedervi di fare una cosa molto difficile. Pensate che cosa vuol dire avere il proprio figlio o la propria figlia uccisi.
It's not about racism. It's not about anti-Semitism.
Non c'entra qui il razzismo, non c'entra l'antisemitismo.
I want the truth.
Io voglio la verità.
I've spent every day of my life since 2001.
E dal 2001 ogni giorno della mia vita.
Trying to find out who murdered my son.
On the Pinhead front, we are on the road again with Willie Nelson. The 74-year-old singer counts himself among the 9/11 conspiracy nuts.
What's your take on 9/11? Do you question the official story?
I certainly do, and I saw those towers fall, and I've seen an implosion in Las Vegas. There was too much similarities between the two, and I saw the building fall that didn't get hit by nothing. So, how naive are we? What do they think we'll go for?
Good grief, Pinhead.
You know, it was sad because they didn't really take a look at any of the stuff I was asking them to look at, any of the evidence or any of the stuff that generated those questions, you know. And they said, he's another tinfoil hat wearing Hollywood clown. And there's two areas. There's Building 7 and there's the five frames from the Pentagon. Don't listen to me. Do your own research.
This is the kind of group that a Timothy McVeigh would come from.
Yeah, that's right. That's what makes it a little bit scary. Google any keywords like intentionally demolished buildings or buildings, comma, demolished, whatever. You'll get hundreds of videos of buildings intentionally brought down. None of them fall like the World Trade Center buildings fell. They all fall from the bottom up, and the World Trade Center buildings fell from the top down. They all fall from the bottom up, and the World Trade Center buildings fell from the top down. Basically, where the planes hit is where they collapsed initially. So that one's easy to refute. Anybody can refute it. But the fact is, once it gets out on the internet, nobody fact checks. Nobody even looks that up.
And it has been in the hands of men ever since to investigate everything. The events leading up to, during, and the events post 9/11. I know on a daily basis the press covers the events post 9/11. But I feel, frankly, abandoned. If I question anything about the official story, I'm called a conspiracy theorist. My daughter was on the 93rd floor.
Being ex-military, when the attack initially took place and I was governor,
I went on a very focused tunnel vision mode that our country had been attacked and what the hell do we need to do to repel it. So I today kick myself because at that point in time I had a position of power, and if I would have, you know, not been the way I was, the way all of us were so shocked when it happened, that in that position of power, I could have raised a lot more questions at that time about the things that went down that day, and where today, when I raise those questions, naturally it doesn't quite have the impact that it would have had back then. But to me, it's questions that are not being answered and haven't been answered about 9/11. And, you know, first and foremost, I think, is the fact that, okay, in New York City and Manhattan, two planes struck two buildings. We'll all be in agreement on that, I think. But how is it that a third building fell 5 hours later? That's my first question. The 9/11 Commission never even brought it up. They didn't devote even one page to that in their big volume of investigation.
Anybody who thinks that 9/11 was carried out by the government isn't a truther. They're idiots. Can you actually imagine that our government was capable of successfully pulling off 9/11 and then keeping it off of the front page of the New York Times?
It was omitted. Building 7 9/11 report, omitted. The entire thing, never in the history of the world has a building fallen from a fire into its own footprint, eliminating the core, 25 steel beams. Really impossible, physics-wise, impossible. Hard to say in America.
Personally, I think at this point, if anybody had a rope thick enough, I think that Rosie should be strung up for treason.
You would be surprised at how many people would rather be right about things than lie. And they will set it up so that they can appear to be right, no matter who else they have to kill or destroy. And believe me, there are many, many things worse than death.
The Scholars for 9/11 Truth. These are the worst, most fringe, kookiest, discredited academic crackpots who believe that the Secret Service and the CIA planted a controlled demolition of that building.
Moments ago, I spoke to the chief of safety for the New York City Fire Department. He received word of the possibility of a secondary device, that is another bomb going off, but he said that there was another explosion which took place, and then an hour after the first hit here, there was another explosion that took place. He thinks that there were actually devices that were planted in the building. We are continuing to hear explosions here downtown.
Explosion and another explosion. We have a report now of a fourth explosion at the Trade Center.
We understand now there has been a secondary explosion on Tower 2.
It's just been a huge explosion.
You want to call your mother or something?
I'm supposed to be right now.
I just want to, this is how crazy you guys are. And you guys are, really. Number one, you hate your country, and number two, you're a loon.
When a big plane hits a building,
the
building's going to come tumbling down. Do you think George Bush did it? Do you think Israel did it? I've heard so many sick, twisted conspiracy theories. Where are you leaning towards?
I don't know who did it, and neither do you, and we need the American people to get the truth. We have a right to know who did it,
yeah.
And so do the families of the victims.
You know what?
What are you screaming about? Let him talk.
Support a new investigation into the attacks of 9/11.
Are you one of those that was an inside job, guys? I'll let you be rude and interrupt me. Scream at the top of your lungs. "9/11 was not an inside job. It was an Osama bin Laden job with 19 people from Saudi Arabia. They murdered 3,000 Americans and other farmers, including over 200 other Muslims. And we look like idiots, folks, denying that the people who murdered our fellow citizens did it when they are continuing to murder people all around the world. So we heard from you. You go away."
In most people's eyes, Israel is a terrorist state. It's the fact that you cannot comprehend that fact that leads to the bias which runs through all of your reporting and every question that you've asked me in this interview.
What we don't know is who may be responsible for these attacks. There's a lot of speculation, obviously, about Osama bin Laden, who is a Saudi dissident, who is believed to be harbored somewhere in Afghanistan, but no one is claiming responsibility. In the West Bank, however, the Palestinians in the streets are cheering and celebrating these attacks on the United States. The Palestinians in the streets are cheering and celebrating these attacks.
Continues to possess and conceal some of the most lethal weapons ever devised.
The main reason we went into Iraq at the time was we thought he had weapons of mass destruction. It turns out he didn't.
I know it's in Texas, probably in Tennessee, that says, fool me once, shame on you. If fool me, we can't get fooled again.
An axis of evil. Iran must end its support of terror, and it must not obtain a nuclear weapon.
The production and the usage of nuclear weapons is one of the most abhorrent acts to our eyes. In addition, we also believe that the atomic bomb has lost its use in political affairs, in fact. The time for nuclear bombs has ended. Whoever who invests in it is going the wrong way. Was the nuclear bomb able to help keep the Soviet Union intact?
Iranians are moving forward with their nuclear program quicker than expected.
The time for bombs of that nature has ended. It is a time of thought, a time for culture and reason to prevail.
Iran continues to defy the UN by refusing to answer questions about its nuclear program.
The largest number of inspections in the history of the IAEA has been done with the country of Iran. No country in the world has cooperated with the agency as much as Iran has done.
Do you believe there is a clandestine, secret nuclear weapons program right now underway in Iran?
We haven't seen any concrete evidence to that effect. Once we haven't received any information that there is a parallel, ongoing, active nuclear weapon program.
And when I see George Bush standing next to a prime minister, Mr. Olmert, who has hundreds of nuclear weapons, illegally held, undeclared, not subject to any treaty obligations, thundering on about a country which his own intelligence service says it doesn't have any nuclear weapons and isn't trying to get any, it becomes surreal.
Iran is the central banker of international terrorism.
One thing could we do? Could we start arming
the anti-government groups inside Iran? Could their cars start blowing up?
They have not found any documentation that would say that Iran has deviated from the peaceful path, or really those who are now developing the fourth and fifth generation of nuclear weapons and have historically, in fact, used the nuclear weapon.
And I hope it's not going to take another 9/11 to wake us up. 9/11 with weapons of mass destruction.
Stop letting them ride on your shoulders. Because when you come face to face with Maker, you are going to judge self on how many people you pull away from their journey into oneness with God for your own selfish, greedy purposes.
The Bush regime witnessing with outrage and anguish the perpetration of some of the plainest examples of crimes against humanity and genocide by an irresponsible and brutal regime that knows no boundaries in violating the most basic principles of international law, international humanitarian law, and human rights law. It seems as if the life of this criminal regime depends on creating of and persisting on bloodshed, and as if this regime feeds on nothing but war crimes, aggression, occupation, and state terrorism. People of Gaza continue to be subjected to untold suffering that are unprecedented in mankind's recent history. It is appalling to see that in the 21st century the civilized world is witnessing that the whole population is under crippling blockade, starved, deprived of the most basic supplies such as even bread and drinking water, and at the same time slaughtered in one of the most horrendous ways while having been left with nowhere to go, nothing to eat, or no safe place to take shelter.
The destruction was horrific, and what was most shocking of all, the destruction was right in front of the world's eyes. This was not some hidden genocide. This is not some hidden massive atrocity. Everybody knew exactly what was going on. In fact, the European governments went along with it. The European governments went along with the starvation of Gaza the past 2 years. The European governments joined in the brutal economic sanctions against Gaza. And the European governments now, including the Russian government, they just went to visit Olmert after the brutality, after killing 400 children, after bombing schools, after bombing mosques. The killing ratio was 100 to 1. 14 Israelis, 1,300 Gazans. And they're talking about curbing Hamas's weapons, not curbing Israel's weapons. It's breathtaking.
Obviously, both sides of the complex situation are vigorously championed by American politicians.
I understand Israel's desire to protect itself.
I think what the Israelis are doing is very important.
Israel has no choice but to take military action.
The Israelis are doing the only thing they can possibly do to defend their population.
The missile firings into Israel, I think, brought a proper response from the Israelis.
See? It's the Mobius strip of issues. There's only one side.
Sent phone text messages to Palestinians in Gaza saying leave your homes because there are weapons inside them. What other country would do that?
For the last 3.5 years, Israel has been bombarded daily by a number of rockets coming from Gaza.
Eretz Tanakh Kamonu, זה מדהים.
ואני רואה שאנחנו קונים את מנהטן וקונים את הונגריה וקונים את רומניה וקונים את פולין, אז אין בעיות לנו, אני מבין שהכישרונות והקשרים והתנופה מגיעה כמעט לכל מקום.
What about the 400 children who were killed, many of them incinerated by white phosphorus? They don't feel anymore. They're gone. Their lives were snuffed out. Snuffed out for what?
They are forcing us to kill their children to defend our children.
To fit it in just in time between Election Day, November 4th, and Coronation Day, like a holiday you fit in on your calendar. That's why 400 children were incinerated by this satanic state. And I'm not supposed to worry about how I feel because they call me this and call me that. Let them all burn in hell for what they did to the poor people of Gaza. What did those people ever do? 80% of them are refugees and the children of refugees who were expelled from Israel in 1948. That's how they ended up in Gaza.
Nothing good is going to come out of it unless they keep fighting all the way with it till they wipe them all out.
Wipe them all out.
Yeah, they got to go strong with this.
There's only one way to deal with a cancer. You burn it out or you remove it. And when people don't want to talk and just want to destroy you and not allow you to live, there's only one thing you can do.
I think we should go with all force and just go in and get them all.
So what if Israel just, you know, wiped Gaza off the map? What would be so wrong with that?
May this gift be a token of gratitude for the sweetness and love you have extended to Jews and all mankind. On behalf of World Torah Jewry, presented by Neturei Karata International, New York, USA.
The president is of the world leaders who is exemplary in his comprehension and understanding totally the difference between Judaism, the spirituality, the religion, the servitude, and subservience to God, and the antithetical concept of Zionism, which is a materialism, godless in its essence, and a goal just for nationalism, and which is something forbidden clearly and distinctly by the Torah. Judaism requires of the Jewish people to be humble, to be loyal citizens in every country in where they're residing. The ones who unfortunately, we call them the sheep, who unfortunately fell prey to Zionism, it's simply because of the weakness of what they've seen, of they lost relatives and things like that, have made them fall prey to this onslaught of propaganda. But it's not Judaism, and again, we stress that the president should be know for a fact that there is many, many, really untold thousands and thousands, just an untold number as he would travel around the world, who are really true to the Torah and will never fall for this concept of Zionism. We all pray for the speedy and peaceful dismantlement of the state so we can again live in peace as we have for hundreds of years without any more suffering or bloodshed for any of God's creation. As in Iran, we have this the beautiful Jewish community that's been living there for thousands of years.
Free, prosperous, and secure Israel is in this nation's national interest.
Your house, your family, your mind, your passion, your house.
We want your soul.
Your facts, your fears, your bus, your address, your shoe size, your ears, your digits, your plans, your number, your eyes. your schedule, your desktop, your details, your life. Show us your children, your photos, your home. Here, take credit, take insurance, take a loan. Get a job, get a pension, get a haircut, get a suit. Playing the lottery, playing football, playing the field.
We want your soul.
Smackers, here's Britney, here's cola, here's pizza, here's TV, here's some rock and some roller. Watch commercials, more commercials, watch Jerry, not Oprah. Buy a better life from the comfort of your sofa. Here's popcorn, here's magazines, here's milkshake, here's blue jeans, here's padded bars, here's armpit rack, here's football shirt, here's baseball cap, here's live talk shows, here's video game, here's cola life, here's tin morning, here's filter tips, here's college minutes, here's all night long, here's plastic. Your cell phone, your wallet, your time, your ideas. No barcode, no party, no ID, no beers. Your bank card, your license, your thoughts, your fears. No SIM card, no disco, no photo, not here. Your blood, your sweat, your passions, your regrets, your profits, your time off, your fashions, your sex, your grief, your grass, your grit, your ass, your raps, your balls. We run.
We get one.
On the television, I want you to know to whom to blame on this conflict. That's Mr. Saakashvili who started this war, and Mr. Saakashvili who is aggressor, and who and 2 days my people, Ossetian people, were killed and were under bombed, and 2,000 people were killed in one day.
And
that's what I am against.
I would never cut you off. Unfortunately, a commercial break will take us there in 4 seconds, whether we like it or not.
I'll bring you back after the commercial. You don't want to hear that.
I'll be right back with you. Stay by.
Just keep going.
Can I just ask a question?
Sure.
What is Fox News? It's just a parade of propaganda, isn't it? It's just a festival of ignorance. What? Why, a million
Fox
people
News?
Are dead in Iraq. Come on, this is ridiculous. What's the point of this? This is insane.
I love Fox News.
Go outside. Go hug
Lee,
your children.
You should be more.
Well,
Lee,
Fox
you should
News
be more worried.
Love your family. You know,
and
you get all the news.
Hillary Clinton
you get
is running.
All the news you can at Fox News. All right, thanks.
And
guys.
I think. Okay.
The secret organizations of the world power elite are no longer secret. They have planned and are now leading us into a one-world communist government. The combining of national governments started with the European Union. That union started with trade agreements, then a common currency, the euro, and now a European Parliament that is feverishly passing laws that override the laws of the member nations. A constitution was drafted but rejected by a few of those nations, but never mind. they implemented it anyway. Now it's North America's turn. Building on the North American Free Trade Agreement, the NAFTA section of the Commerce Department is busy drafting laws and regulations for a North American Union, a union of Canada, America, and Mexico. The President has attended secret meetings and signed at least two agreements under the Security and Prosperity Partnership Program.
We're in a lot of trouble because less than 3% of you people read books. Because less than 15% of you read newspapers. Because the only truth you know is what you get over this tube. Right now, there is a whole, an entire generation that never knew anything that didn't come out of this tube. This tube is the gospel, the ultimate revelation. This tube can make or break presidents, popes, prime ministers. This tube is the most awesome goddamn force in the whole godless world. And woe is us if it ever falls into the hands of the wrong people. And when the 12th largest company in the world controls the most awesome goddamn propaganda force in the whole godless world, who knows what shit will be peddled for truth on this network. So you listen to me. Listen to me. Television is not the truth. Television is a goddamn amusement park. Television is a circus, a carnival, a traveling troupe of acrobats, storytellers, dancers, singers, jugglers, sideshow freaks, lion tamers, and football players. We're in the boredom-killing business. So if you want the truth, go to God. Go to your gurus. Go to yourself. Because that's the only place you're ever going to find any real truth. But man, you're never going to get any truth from us. We'll tell you anything you want to hear. We lie like hell. We'll tell you that Kojak always gets the killer and that nobody ever gets cancer in Archie Bunker's house. And no matter how much trouble the hero is in, don't worry, just look at your watch. At the end of the hour, he's going to win. We'll tell you any shit you want to hear. We deal in illusions, man. None of it is true. But you people sit there day after day, night after night, all ages, colors, creeds. We're all you know. You're beginning to believe the illusions we're spinning here. You're beginning to think that the tube is reality and that your own lives are unreal. You do whatever the tube tells you. You dress like the tube. You eat like the tube. You raise your children like the tube. You even think like the tube. This is mass madness, you maniacs. In God's name, you people are the real thing. We are the illusion. So turn off your television sets. Turn them off now. Turn them off right now. Turn them off and leave them off. Turn them off right in the middle of the sentence I'm speaking to you now. Turn them off.
Back with us from San Francisco. This program ends in less than a minute, but I want to give you 30 seconds to complete your thought. So go ahead.
It's good to have an outpost of the council right here down the street from the State Department. We get a lot of advice from the council, so this will mean I won't have as far to go to be told what we should be doing and how we should think about the future.
We have tried and tried and tried to get a debate on global warming with scientists on the other side. Al Gore or any of the scientists behind him over at the UNIPCC. We'd love to have a debate with him, but they said, oh no, the debate is over.
Yeah.
Well, now there are 30,000 of us. Mm-hmm. We have 30,000 scientists, 9,000 PhDs, who have signed up to debunk global warming. Mm-hmm. And they still won't listen to us.
Unless nations will agree to work together to tackle these cross-border challenges posed by population growth, overconsumption of resources, and environmental degradation, the prospect for a decent life on our planet will be threatened.
What's wrong with the population? I mean,
we're too many people. That's what. That's why we have global warming. We have global warming because too many people are using too much stuff.
But
if there were less people, they'd be using less stuff.
It's a very unusual form of flu because it looks like it is a product of some gene splicing. The flu contains elements of bird flu, two forms of human flu, and various forms of swine flu. To them, it doesn't look like this is naturally occurring. The other thing is the target. For this flu, as opposed to other flus, it's not the very young and the very old, it's people between the ages of 20 and 45. And the other thing is, people are not contracting this from pigs. The National Pork Council here in America says pigs are not being affected. This is human-to-human contact. The 1918 flu, called the Spanish flu, was extracted from the corpse of a dead Inuit woman who died of the disease in Brevik Mission, Alaska, a small Inuit village, and it was recombined with other forms of flu to create this particular AH1N1 that's been declared a pandemic by the World Health Organization. Now, it's interesting to note that a company called FluGen, which is associated with this research at the University of Wisconsin at Madison, is now developing a vaccine. I think what we see with Baxter International, FluGen, and other companies developing a vaccine, when some of these companies were involved in the research on this particular form of flu, people are a little bit skeptical about the profit motivations. FluGen and the others offering up these vaccines. We do know that Baxter International sent out live avian virus with a vaccine that was sent to about 10 different countries, including the Czech Republic, Slovenia, and Germany. So there's a lot of skepticism here. If any of these vaccination programs are forced on the public, I think the American people are going to react quite negative. Journalists who suspect there may be other things at play here, including Big Pharma trying to capitalize on this pandemic and try to make money off of a vaccine that may not even be safe. There are other journalists who suspect there may be other things at play here, including Big Pharma trying to capitalize on this pandemic and try to make money off of a vaccine that may not even be safe.
It's a great time to be a high-producing cow. Posilac One Step, bovine somatotropin by Monsanto.
The federal government basically rubber stamped it before they put it on the marketplace. The longest test they did for human toxicity was 90 days on 30 rats.
Posilac is the single most tested new product in history and is now available to you specifically so you can increase your profit potential.
And then either Monsanto misreported the results to the FDA or the FDA didn't bother to look in depth at Monsanto's own studies.
The scientists within Health Canada looked very carefully at bovine growth hormone and came to very different conclusions than the Food and Drug Administration in the U.S. did.
Monsanto's engineered growth hormone did not comply with safety requirements. It could be absorbed by the body and therefore did have implications for human health. Mysteriously, that conclusion was deleted from the final published version of their report.
We have been pressured and coerced to pass drugs of questionable safety, including the RBST. I personally was very concerned that there's a very serious problem of secrecy, conspiracy, and things of that nature, and something needs to be done.
They said, in 1962, we're going to work toward total global implementation of Codex Alimentarius on December 31st, 2009. They were sort of guidelines. Now, Codex Alimentarius Commission is administered by the World Health Organization, WHO, and the FAO, the Food and Agriculture Organization. They fund Codex and they run it at the request of the UN. So they're mommy and daddy to Codex Alimentarius. In 1994, Codex, with no notice here in this country whatsoever, declared nutrients, put on your intellectual seatbelt, declared nutrients to be toxins. They're poisons. Under Codex, every dairy cow on the planet must be treated with Monsanto's recombinant bovine growth hormone. Furthermore, under Codex, every animal used for food on the planet must be treated with subclinical antibiotics and must be treated with exogenous growth hormones. If you do the numbers in the WHO FAO projections, the epidemiological projections, they estimate, not I, that just the vitamin and mineral guideline alone, when it goes into global implementation on December 31st, 2009, will result in a minimum of 3 billion, that's B, bad, big, billion deaths.
All individuals have a natural right to their life and liberty, and we don't get them. We get these rights from our government, we get these rights from our creator, we get them in a natural way. The only purpose of government is to protect those rights.
Certainly one of the most important principles embodied in the U.S. Constitution is the recognition that individual rights come from God, and the purpose of government is to protect those rights. The United Nations recognizes no God above the U.N. The United Nations recognizes no impediments or restrictions on its power.
A new world order, a civilization of love, can be achieved.
We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order, a world where the rule of law, not the law of the jungle, governs the conduct of nations. When we are successful, and we will be, we have a real chance at this new world order, an order in which a credible United Nations can use its peacekeeping role to fulfill the promise and vision of the UN's founders.
You can fill your roles and assume your responsibility, or you can effort to shoot down the hosts of God. When you take on the host of God and God and declare war against them, you have taken on a very, very substantial enemy.
Anytime the government has secrets that they can keep from us, they can manipulate us by those secrets. In essence, they still remain 25 years at least ahead of us in technology, information, and knowledge, and secrets, and they are using them against us. I heard over the years many times over that the plan to usher in the new world order would be to make all the people in this country and around the world feel totally helpless to prevent the new world order from occurring, this world dominance plan, by saying that we had been invaded by aliens, so that we would say, oh please UN, come in and help us all. So bear in mind that there is a planned orchestration to get people to be submissive through the secret technology and information that they're keeping from you under the blanket of the so-called National Security Act that's threatening the security of our nation.
Perhaps we need some outside universal threat. I occasionally think how quickly our differences worldwide would vanish if we were facing an alien threat from outside this world.
There is a strong case to be made that secret military technology offers a convincing explanation for many UFO stories.
I think that there's something very big going on here that's been going on for thousands of years, and it's a spiritual battle. And I'm not sure that any of us really understand the full implications of what the word God means, what the scriptures are really all about. The implications are just staggering for the future of the human race.
In the United States, it was inevitable that the international banking interests would attempt to establish the same kind of private monopoly over the money system that they had achieved in England, France, Germany, Italy, and Switzerland. The same formula would be used: make it look like a government operation, but keep the control in private hands. On December 22, 1913, the Federal Reserve Act finally was passed into law. Something known as the Federal Reserve System came into being, and with it, total control over the nation's money fell into private hands. The Federal Reserve System solely is responsible for creating money in the United States. The Treasury prints only what the Federal Reserve tells it to print. The far greater amount of checkbook money is also determined by this group. Yet it is not a government agency and is entirely beyond the reach of the American voter.
Congressman Lewis McFadden, a longtime opponent of the banking cartels, began bringing impeachment proceedings against the Federal Reserve Board, saying of the crash and depression, "It was a carefully contrived occurrence. International bankers sought to bring about a condition of despair so that they might emerge the rulers of us all." Not surprisingly, and after two previous assassination attempts, McFadden was poisoned at a banquet before he could push for the impeachment.
So there were many who predicted that the climax would be exactly as we're witnessing. But we don't seem to want to go back and find out how do financial bubbles form and why do they burst. Instead, we just carry on doing the same old thing and never look back. We spend more money, we run up more debt, we print more money, and we think that's going to solve the problem that was created by spending too much money, running up debt, printing too much money, and here we are today. We're talking about tinkering on the edges without dealing with the big problem. The Federal Reserve has literally created $8 trillion here in the last several months, at least an obligation. And that's outside the realm of the Congress. We don't even audit the Federal Reserve. They create this money, and when the Fed chairman comes before our committee and we ask, well, where did you dispose of this $2 trillion that you've created recently? He says, well, it's not your business. That's not necessary. And under the law, he doesn't even have to tell us. So this is how out of control this is.
When freshman Congressman Alan Grayson asked the Fed's Inspector General how much of that money the Federal Reserve had lost since the crisis began, he was surprised to find out she didn't know.
So are you telling me that nobody at the Federal Reserve is keeping track on a regular basis of the losses that it incurs on what is now a $2 trillion portfolio?
Until we actually look at the program and have the information, we are not in a position to say whether there are losses or to respond in any other way.
And I think it was shocking to me and to other people to see that the Inspector General could not account for $1 trillion of cash that had been handed out by the Federal Reserve in the course of just the past few months.
Every single dollar produced by the central bank is loaned at interest. That means every single dollar produced is actually the dollar plus a certain percent of debt based on that dollar. And since the central bank has a monopoly over the production of the currency for the entire country, and they loan each dollar out with immediate debt attached to it, where does the money to pay for the debt come from? It can only come from the central bank again. Which means the central bank has to perpetually increase its money supply to temporarily cover the outstanding debt created, which in turn, since that new money is loaned out at interest as well, creates even more debt. The end result of this system without fail is slavery, for it is impossible for the government and thus the public to ever come out of the self-generating debt.
You have publicly admitted, sir, that the Federal Reserve caused the Great Depression. Can you guarantee the American people that they will not cause another Great Depression here, sir? American people would like to know the answer, sir.
So with the Federal Reserve, you have inflation and debt. Now, if the American government made the money, backed by gold, which limited the amount they could make, you would have debt and you would have inflation. We've given these people the authority to create money out of thin air. And through that device, they control everything.
Wendell, I'm under strict instructions and have been from the beginning to not talk about the dollar, and I'm not going to get fired to satisfy your question.
If we ever want to win this battle, you must shut down the Federal Reserve System. And we must shut down these bankers and restore sound money to this country.
When are you going to start making your plans around what God is offering you in exchange for your petitions?
I Constitution is explicit. The Constitution says no emitting bills of credit, no paper money, only gold and silver can be legal tender. And today we allow big government to grow, whether it's on the conservative side or the liberal side. If they want something, they usually have a compromise, spend it on both, and then they resort to printing money. And that is where our trouble's coming from, and that is the crisis we're facing, all great nations and great empires, and for fiscal, financial reasons. That's how the Soviet system was defeated. We didn't have to invade them. We didn't have to fight them. Their system collapsed, and that is what's happening today.
They created this institution that we now know as the Federal Reserve, which is a private institution of international bankers, some of whom we don't even know who they are, most of whom are not citizens of the United States of America. What we have here is a fraud. We have, you know, we create money out of thin air. We create a fiat money supply that's backed by nothing. There's nothing of substance behind our supposed wealth. We've become the greatest debtor nation in the history of the world. We're $10 trillion in debt and growing. There's no end in sight. And the only answer that they can come up with is we got to borrow more money.
They tried to get it through Congress under the name the Aldrich Federal Reserve Act. But since Aldrich was so tied to the international banking system, the members of Congress, under the leadership of President Taft, you know, they voted it out. So they went back to the drawing board and they redid it. And they pushed it through on December the 22nd, 1913, just as Congress was about to break for the Christmas recess. Wanting to get home quick, they pushed it through. And the Federal Reserve Act became law.
Admiral Blair, who I greatly respect, have labeled cybersecurity perpetrated through the Internet as the number one national hazard of attack on the homeland in West Virginia, in West Virginia, in America, or anywhere else. So, I mean, it really almost makes you ask the question, would it have been better if we never invented the Internet and had to use paper and pencil or what? It is a fearsome, awesome problem.
Why in the world does the American government borrow money from the banks when they have the ability to create it themselves without borrowing it and paying interest on it? Why? And nobody can answer that question. Not one politician ever raises that. Why does the American government borrow money when they can create it without paying interest?
The entire purpose of all these websites is to incite violent acts against the United States.
Yes.
You know, we got a first responsibility to protect ourselves. No society wants to provide so much freedom that it amounts to a suicide pact.
Right.
And that's why I'm going to continue the pressure on Google and YouTube, and if necessary, see if we can come up with a law.
First of all, the federal income tax is completely unconstitutional, as it is a direct, unapportioned tax. All direct taxes have to be apportioned to be legal based on the Constitution. Secondly, the required number of states in order to ratify the amendment to allow the income tax was never met, and this has even been cited in modern court cases. Third, at the present day, roughly 35% of the average worker's income is taken from them via this tax. That means you work 4 months out of the year to fulfill this tax obligation. And guess where that money goes? It goes to pay the interest on the currency being produced by the fraudulent Federal Reserve Bank, a system that does not have to exist at all. Not 1 cent of this tax goes towards any governmental program whatsoever. Not 1 cent. The money you make working 4 months out of the year goes almost literally into the pockets of the international bankers who own the private Federal Reserve Bank. And fourth, even with the fraudulent government claim as to the legality of the income tax, there is literally no statute, no law in existence that requires you to pay this tax. Period.
same bankers put money behind Woodrow Wilson. And Woodrow Wilson sold the American presidency to the international banker. He was elected in 1912, and in 1913, the Federal Reserve Act became law. Like Rothschild said, he don't care who rules, as long as he controls the purse strings.
Evil is evil. If you vote for one that you think is a little less, actually you get tricked into that. You think that you vote for a Republican to balance a budget and they're worse than the Democrats. That's what the people are sick and tired of. You vote for the Democrats to end the war and they expand the war as much as the Republicans. We go to overseas and fight wars to promote democracy. At the same time, we listen to these glib debates going on that's really irrelevant to these four important issues.
We are now over $9 trillion in debt. And what solution are they offering? None. Nothing. You don't hear one word in these debates about the debt. Why? Because they're equally responsible and it's indefensible. It is indefensible.
You can't get on the debates. You can't get on the ballots. The parties are the same. There's really no choice in the system. We don't have good democratic process here.
He's the one who told me 11 months before 9/11 ever happened that there was going to be an event. And at that event, we were going to invade Afghanistan to run pipelines from the Caspian Sea. We were going to invade Iraq, you know, to take over the oil fields, establish a base in the Middle East, and make it all part of the New World Order.
We've learned that Iraq has trained Al-Qaeda members in bomb making, in poisons, in deadly gases. You know, one of the hardest parts of my job is to connect Iraq to the war on terror.
Sure enough, later 9/11 happened, and I remember he was telling me how, how you're going to see soldiers looking in caves, from people in Afghanistan and Pakistan and all these places, and there's going to be this war on terror, which is no real enemy, and the whole thing is a giant hoax, you know. But it's a way for the government to take over the American people.
He told you it was going to be a hoax.
Oh yeah. There's no question. There's going to be war on terror, and he's laughing.
Dr. Quigley believes that people should be more familiar with the identities of these clever banking dynasties. They include such names as Baring, Hambros, Lazard, Erlanger, Warburg, Schroeder, Seligman, the Spires, Mirabeau, Mallet, Fold, and above all, Rothschild and Morgan.
And now, President Obama wants to hand the Federal Reserve even more power.
I am proposing that the Federal Reserve be granted new authority and accountability for regulating bank holding companies and other large firms who pose a risk to the entire economy in the event of failure.
It appears that there were not weapons of mass destruction there.
You said you knew where they were.
I did not. I said I knew where suspect sites were, and
you
we
said,
were just...
You said you knew where they were, near Tikrit, near Baghdad, and northeast, south, and west of there. Those are your words.
My words were that...
They know where they are. They're in the area around Tikrit and Baghdad.
Well, first of all, I haven't lied. I did not lie then.
Those weapons of mass destruction got to be somewhere. Maybe under here.
You can't believe how wicked, how low down and rotten. Wait a minute. You can't believe how wicked these people are. To play games with your lives and the lives of your babies. create a war just to get more money, to charge more interest, and send your babies to die for bullshit. Don't be frightened for me. You better be frightened for yourself. Because some stuff is going down in America right now as we speak. That all our lives are in danger right now.
The Constitution was written very precisely to restrain the power and force of government and to protect the liberties of each and every one of us.
Truth ultimately finds its way to people's ears and eyes and hearts. And I don't worry about that over the long term.
Mr. Secretary, what exactly was the connection between Saddam Hussein and al-Qaeda?
I tell you, I'm not going to answer the question.
Another Downing Street memo. The British Prime Minister quoted as saying in return he was solidly with the president. Also reported that Mr. Bush even proposed to send American planes over Iraq painted in UN colors to try to provoke Saddam Hussein into firing on them.
Resign from your post when you knew that the facts and intelligence were being fixed around the policy of regime change in Iraq, which was released in the minutes. Why didn't you resign, Sir Richard? Why didn't you just...
I would call this harassment, so if you could just leave me alone, it would be much...
Not harassment,
Sir Richard. I think killing millions of Iraqis is a bigger harassment. All down to you. Well, not all down to you. They're very much down to you. The facts are fixed around the policy. Is that slander, Sir Richard, if we say you're a war criminal?
Richard, why, sir, when you found out following your trip to Washington in 2002, did you not resign from your post?
when you realise that the Americans were set on a war of aggression no matter what, that they were going to fix the facts and the intelligence around the policy. Why did you choose to stay in your position as director of MI6? Why did you not resign at that moment, sir, when you knew that it was a false war, it was an illegal war?
What about the millions of dead Iraqis, sir Richard? How do you sleep at night? How do you sleep at night? Every child is precious. In fact, I think we should citizens arrest you, sir.
This is a